Bodhisattva's prayer. As long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the suffering of all beings for as long as space remains. In some traditions, the goal of practice might be described as attaining nirvana, a departure from one's existence in the world of form, absolute peace. This is quite a different prayer, quite a different vow. A vow to remain in the world, a vow to remain engaged for as long as space remains to alleviate the suffering in the world. That's a different orientation. I just finished reading a wonderful book. I've taught it now for a few years. A Tale for the Time Being by Ruth Ozeki. Ruth Ozeki is a Zen priest. And one of the characters in this novel is a great-grandmother named Jizo. Named Jiko. Very similar to the name Jizo, who is a bodhisattva in the Japanese tradition, who makes a vow to save all the beings who are in the hell realms. And with my students in class, we were talking about what it might mean to make a vow, to make a great vow, how that might shape one's orientation and one's life. And I had a student who said something surprising, which is that the fact that this vow is impossible, this vow to save all beings, means that you don't have to worry about the outcome of your efforts. And you can just focus on embodying this vow with integrity in the moment. It struck me as such a beautiful and wise comment. In the face of suffering in the world, it's so easy to be overwhelmed and think, oh, what can I do? Perhaps throw up our hands and say, well, at least I can make myself comfortable. And maybe, in a sense, we think of meditation that way. At least I can make myself comfortable. But of course, one of the really important teachings of the Buddhist tradition is the teaching of emptiness. Emptiness, as we know, is not non-existence, not nothingness or hollowness, but the simple noticing that everything that exists has no fixed essence. Everything is always changing. And everything is always made of things that it is not. That sounds, of course, paradoxical, but makes some sense. We breathe and our air and our lungs fill with air that is not us, and yet it is us. We eat food that is not us, that becomes us. And then it becomes not us. So we have these sort of interesting lines that we create. And from the perspective of emptiness, we might say, they're arbitrary. In fact, everything is made of everything else. We are stardust. Quite literally. So we are deeply interconnected with everything that is. Our minds, our awareness is always made up of things that are not us. The most obvious example is that to some extent my words make up your thoughts right now. Your presence makes up my vision. So we're so deeply interconnected, always made of things that we are not. So much so that actually it is impossible for us to separate from the world. And this bodhisattva vow is a great realization of that. But in seeing the suffering of the world, we might be overwhelmed. Like I said, think, well, there's nothing I can do, but this vow is one that we embody moment by moment. If there's one thing that our tradition teaches us, it's to be here now, to wake up, to pay attention to what is in this very moment, what is before us. And in that moment, to respond appropriately, to do our best to take care of each being that we meet. Each person who we meet is also an embodiment of the whole universe. Each person we meet, it's not just us, it's not just you or me. Everybody is stardust, is the air of the atmosphere, is the water of the rain, is the language of a people. Everyone is a manifestation of the universe. Each time we help, we care for an individual being, we are caring for the whole universe. The entire world in a blade of grass, in a grain of sand. Why wouldn't it also be in a child or in a friend, in a partner? So this coming together, we might say, of this impossible vow with our practice of walking with our feet on the ground, touching the ground, ringing the bell with our entire heart, saving all beings through the ringing of the bell. The breath, each breath, an entire world connected to us, in us, through us, the significance of each breath. Each breath is an opportunity to save all beings. Each step we take, each smile we give, each meal we cook. This is why in the Soto tradition, there is so much attention given to forms. Which direction should I pour the tea, the remaining tea water during orioki? Where does my chopstick go? Which way should it point? At first, some of these things can just seem like obsessive compulsive disorder. Like, oh my God, seriously? Do I really need to hit the bell every time I'm supposed to ring the bell? Do I really need to walk with my foot at the same time as the people with whom I'm with? Why does all this matter? Well, because we're learning. We're learning to give everything our full attention. Because this is how we save all beings. One moment, one being at a time. And this vow is our motive for practice. This never-ending vow. And I'm not going to say it's good that we can never save all beings, but it certainly gives our life meaning and purpose. To think that each moment is an opportunity to give to someone or something our care, our love. And that's the heart of our practice, isn't it? To sit and give each breath your love. To give each little bit of heartache that arises in you your love. To give each joy that bursts forth in you your love. To save all beings. This issue of interconnectedness, emptiness, is quite an opportunity. It means that everything has infinite potential. So this vow to remain. To remain here in this world, in this moment, I vow to be present in this moment, to meet each person with my attention. I just want to end with a little quote. Simone Weil says, attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity. In this practice, we bring together meditation and the precepts in each moment. Each moment, which includes past, present, and future, which includes all interwoven beings. And we vow to care for each being we encounter. This vow is never finished, providing an endless purpose for our lives. Thank you.